At 10 o'clock, they're happy. How is she dead 2 hours later?
When a San Diego police officer is found dead in her home, who investigates? Follow One of Their Own, a new podcast from KPBS, wherever you listen.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, February 27th. SDG&E profits fell by more than a third last year. We'll tell you why next, but first, let's do the headlines. On Wednesday, Chula Vista announced a food pantry in partnership with Catholic Charities Diocese of San Diego. City officials say it's the first of its kind in the South Bay and is officially set to open on March 4th. According to the city, it will operate on Mondays and Wednesdays from noon until 7 p.m. A ribbon-cutting ceremony was held to celebrate the pantry, which is located at the Civic Center Chula Vista Public Library. Mayor John McCann says the pantry is a meaningful investment in the well-being of Chula Vista, adding that it reinforces our commitment to ensuring every resident is treated with dignity, respect, and care. An Olympic athlete is back home in Carlsbad after making history at the 2026 Winter Games. Kaylee Humphries left Milan Cortina with two medals. She and her teammate Jasmine Jones clinched bronze in the two-woman bobsled, making Olympic history as the first mom duo to medal in the sport. Humphries joined KPBS Midday Edition for a chat yesterday. The 40-year-old talked about what it was like competing in her first Olympics after undergoing IVF treatments and giving birth to her son.
I had a big uphill battle, and I think that's what makes these bronze medals feel gold to me. You know, I went in just wanting to be the best version of myself. If I walked away with no medals, I would be happy just to be a mom.
You can hear the full interview on KPBS Midday Edition at kpbs.org or wherever you get your podcasts. San Diego District Attorney Summer Steffen is disputing a story KPBS reported this month on racial disparities in special charges that can lead to life without parole. KPBS's story relied on a data analysis from a researcher who attributed cases to DAs based on disposition date. The DA's office provided an analysis that attributed cases to DAs based on charging date. It showed no racial disparity in making these special charges against black and white defendants when looking only at multiple murder cases during DA Steffen's tenure. KPBS has clarified the story to include more detail about the analysis and the data it used. Go to kpbs.org to learn more. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
San Diego County is known for being one of America's most expensive regions. Locals are feeling the squeeze and looking for solutions. KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, delves into the rising cost of groceries, childcare, car insurance, and even our beloved California burrito. You won't want to miss this ongoing series live now at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego.
We may be paying more for utilities, but San Diego Gas and Electric's annual profits fell by more than a third last year. KPBS reporter Katie Heisen says it's because of a regulatory decision.
San Diego Gas and Electric earned $563 million in profit last year. That's according to the annual report filed Thursday with the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's down more than a third from the year before because of a large one-time charge to the company, something called regulatory disallowances. Basically, they thought they would recover costs regulators are now telling them they're on the hook for. Their profits more than tripled between 2007 and 2023.
They toast each other with champagne on their earnings annually. At the backs and the sweat and the threat of families not being able to pay their rent, not being able to keep up with their bills.
Yusef Miller is a member of the Interfaith Coalition for Earth Justice. They're one of several community groups pushing the city of San Diego to create a publicly owned, nonprofit utility they say could charge lower rates. SDG&E spokesperson Anthony Wagner says the company works to keep bills as low as possible while still investing in better infrastructure. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
After a long meeting on Wednesday, the majority of the Escondido City Council opted to continue a contract letting federal immigration officers train at a city-owned firing range. A community organizer tells North County reporter Alexander Wen that they will continue to fight the presence of ICE in their city.
Hundreds showed up at the Escondido City Council meeting Wednesday, pleading with the council to protect their community. More than half of Escondido's residents are Latino.
Your community is crying to be the protectors.
Councilmember Consuelo Martinez was the only one to speak out against the contract.
I want to protect you. I hear you. I see you.
Some council members cited concerns about possible consequences and retribution from the Trump administration. Salvador G. Sarmiento with the National Day Labor Organizing Network says the council was being cowardly by hiding behind the Trump administration.
The fact that to turn your back on your own neighbors because you're afraid of some Palm Beach politician that's in the White House right now, that's cowardly. And that's really, it's really sad, honestly, that we can't count on local officials to show a fraction of the courage that their own working class residents demonstrate.
No one from the city was available for comment Thursday. The contract remains in place. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
As the federal government fast-tracks its response to a major sewage spill in the Potomac River, environment reporter Tammy Murga says residents living near the San Diego-Mexican border say they feel left behind.
This week, President Donald Trump declared an emergency after more than 200 million gallons of raw sewage spilled into the Potomac River. The move fast-tracks resources for repairs, cleanup, and water testing. But millions more frequently spill over the San Diego-Mexico border, near where Marvel Harrison lives.
I'm very glad for the declaration for the people there. I'm disgusted that we have waited and struggled so long to not have one here.
She and her husband, Tom Chinati, say their community deserves a rapid response, too.
On the worst days, we get headaches, we get a little bit of brain fog. We get nausea, we lose appetite, it's hard to sleep.
Local leaders have declared the crisis an emergency. To bring federal resources in an expedited way, the governor must request aid and the president would need to approve. That hasn't happened. In a statement, San Diego County Supervisor Paloma Aguirre said, quote, "It is time for the administration to apply the same standard of urgency to the families of South San Diego." Mexico and the U.S. have committed to completing sewage fixes by the end of 2028. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
Hundreds of military adaptive sports athletes are in San Diego competing for a spot in the Defense Department Warrior Games. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says, unlike most competitive sports, at these games, winning comes second.
Light the cauldron.
The trials are the opening event for the Olympic-like competition among wounded service members and veterans. Marines are joined by the Air and Space Force trialists, as well as teams from the UK and Ukraine. Gunnery Sergeant Vincent Webb worked with amphibious vehicles before an injury sent him to Camp Pendleton's Wounded Warrior Regiment.
I fought hard to get to this point, to be able just to stand here and, you know, tolerate the pain and go from everything.
Webb's son is also in the Marines, a Lance Corporal stationed in Hawaii. Webb says he's not just doing this to prove something to himself, but
just to be that example to my son that, yeah, it doesn't matter what life brings you, you know, just keep pushing, continue to set goals and achieve them.
The Navy and Coast Guard trials start Friday at Naval Air Station North Island. The Warrior Games are in San Antonio this summer. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend events happening across the county that you and yours can enjoy. On Friday, in honor of the 2026 Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games, Point Loma Nazarene University has installed a temporary exhibit featuring historical Olympic posters. Milan Cortina Winter Games posters from 1956 and 2026 will be on display through March at PLNU's Ryan Library. On Saturday, there is the Chinese New Year Fair. The fair has been going on since 1983. This year's theme is When 10,000 Horses Move as One, Everyone Rejoices. There will be food, and talented locals can even enter an art contest. You can visit sdcny.org for more. And with options on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is SeaWorld Seven Seas Food Festival. It pairs two essentials, music with food, and makes its return with an all-new menu curated by an executive chef. SeaWorld says for the first time ever, the fun will also make its way onto their Bayside Amphitheater stage with concerts. Whatever you decide to do this weekend, have fun and enjoy. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
It's hard to ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways, and one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.